ברוכים הבאים.
In the beginning. Yeah, just to review, the Mishnah starts off, Chulin starts off with a contradictory statement. The first line says, Hakol Shechtim. Sounds like Lachatchile, we allow everyone to Shecht, even people you would have thought otherwise. Then the next line says, Shechitosim Sher B'dievet, it's good. So Gemara wants to know, obviously they're referring to two different groups of people. So who is the one who can Shecht Lachatchile, and who are the ones that it's only good B'dievet? So the Gemara had different suggestions. And each suggestion is a little questionable. The dinim are correct. The dinim are correct. But the question is whether it can fit into the Mishnah, whether the Mishnah reads straight. So I think last time we learned until about 10 lines from the top of Gimel Amid Beis, Ravina Omar. Ravina has another pshat in the Mishnah. There are going to be two versions of what Ravina said. Ravina Omar, Achi Katoni. In order to shecht, you have to know Hilcha Shechita, you have to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideyat. But then you have, I know a little bit what it says in Yerideyat. I don't know how to hold a knife, I don't know how to hold a behemoth. So you have to be a mumcha. You have to, yeah.
You don't have to have a rishayon.
Mismach
that
is a shechet. Yeah, so that's it. That the minig is that just like a rabbi has to have smicha, a shechet has to have Kabbalah. That's what they call smicha for shechita is called Kabbalah. So you have to go to a rav and take a bechina, and then you have to show the rav that you know how to shecht. You know how to hold a knife. You know how to check a knife. You know it's not enough just to know the dinim in abstract. You have to know how to actually shecht the behemah. So this is Bizman HaGemar. They didn't have that institution yet of Kabbalah. That was developed later. Yeah. So Ravino Amar Hachi Katani. The Mishnah should read like this: Hakol shochtim. Hakol mumchim shochtim. Mumchim means if we know that he knows the halachas, then we'll allow him to shecht. Mumchim v'afal pishem muchzakim. As long as we know that he knows the yerideya, as long as he knows hilcha shechita, he can shecht. Even though we don't know one way or the other whether he's a muchzak, whether he knows the technicality. He knows the dinim in abstract, but does he know the technicality of how to shecht an animal? How heavy is the neck, and how hard do you have to press the knife? We don't know if he has any experience or not. So that's how Ravina reads the Mishnah. Hakol shechtim l'chatrila, we allow a person to shecht, provided we know that he knows the halachas, even though we don't know whether he's experienced or not. We have no knowledge at all whether he has any experience. By medvar mamurim, so when do we permit him to shecht? But he has to know the halachas. We know that he knows the halachas. But if we don't know one way or the other whether he knows the halachas, so then lo yishchot. He's not allowed to shecht. Because he may make it in a veilah, he won't even realize. He doesn't know the dinim. What happens in shochat? And what if we don't know whether the person knows the halachas? Goes ahead and he shechts a behema. Him shochat, what he do? So both come also. You give him a b'china. Afterwards, im yodei aloi mehilcha shechita. If we ask him a lot of questions, if we see that he knows hilcha shechita, it's good. Muta lachem shechitas, you're allowed to eat. Yeah, that's what we mentioned last time. From the Beis Halevi, why do you ask him questions whether he knows hilcha? Why do you ask him questions? What's it in this case? Just ask him, do you know hilcha shechita? So the Beis Halevi said, it could be he's any of there, any of there. A lot of people think they know, and they don't know. So you can't just ask him, Afrumi, do you know Yeridei? He's like, yeah, he knows all the Hilcha Shechit. He may not even realize that he does know anything. So it says you have to actually ask him the questions. If he knows how to answer all the questions, Muta lachal mishchitas v'im lav. If he doesn't know the answers, Osa lachal mishchitasai. Unless other people were watching who do know Hilcha Shechita, and they were watching from the beginning to the end, and they saw that he did a proper job at the Shechita. So that's how Ravina reads the Mishnah. Ha kol shechtim l'chatchila, we allow one who knows Hilcha Shechita, we fahered him, or he has a Kabbalah. He took Bechinas, and we know that he knows Hilcha Shechita, we permit him to shecht l'chatchila, surprisingly, even though we don't know whether he has any experience. He may not know the technicality of shechting. And then Shechitos and Kshera, where does that go? If we didn't fahar him in advance, he has no Kabbalah. He didn't take any exams. So then Shechitos and Kshera, b'diyeved, if he shechted already, now we give him the bechin, and he knows Hilcha Shechita. So b'diyeved, it's also good. L'chatchila, we should really know in advance. Shouldn't allow him to shecht l'chatchila unless we test him when he knows Hilcha Shechita. Then the Mishnah says, Chutz Mecheri, where is this? Let's see. Chutz. Chutz Mecheri Shaita Vekatan. Cheri Shaita Vekatan. Even if he knows Hilchas Shechita, we won't let him shecht. Because they don't have the manas to say that they shechted properly. You can't even trust them, even b'di'evid. Even if you fahar him afterwards, you fahar him before, and you fahar him after, he knows all Hilchas Shechita, but no one was watching when he shechted. So cheri Shaita Vekatan do not have the manas on any area of halacha, even on the rabbanon. Shechita is a din derais. Cheri Shaita Vekatan doesn't have the manas on the rabbanon. A cotton has nemanis lahayd begadlam asherav a cotton. If the kid is now bar mitzvah and he tells me about something that happened before his bar mitzvah, so if it's an issue there, I say he does not have nemanis. If it's an issue the rabbanon, he does have nemanis. Let's say a kid is bar mitzvah and we live in a city, we don't know how far the tchum Shabbos is. So he says, I remember as a child, I always used to go with the rabbi, and the rabbi said you can go ad kan, you can't go past this point. So if he tells me as a child before by mitzvah I can't trust him, Akotin doesn't have that manas. And if Tchumin would have been a din deraisa that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, he would not be believed even to say after the bar mitzvah ad kan hayinu mahalchim l'tchum Shabbos. Because Tchumin is only the rabbanon, so Akotin shehigdel, now he's bar mitzvah, so he's bagloip to say. A lot of times before Pesach the mothers buy new pots and pans and knives for Pesach, and they send the child before by mitzvah to the mikveh to be toivled in the mikveh. So the child doesn't have namanis. Even if one would assume, let's say, even on glasses, that tefillas kelim is only with the rabbanon, but the cotton doesn't have namanis bekatnusa, even on a din the rabbanon. The only leniency you have is if the cotton shehigdil, and he says, I was toivled in the mikveh before my bar mitzvah, and now it's after his bar mitzvah, so then he's naman. But right. That's the machlekes hatanoim. Yeah. Rab Tarfon. Who is it? Rab Yehuda says I was the balkari in Rab Tarfon shul before my bar mitzvah. I laid the megillah and everybody was yotze. So they argue with him. Emavim raim in akotens. And Rab Yehuda held that it is the din is that it is good. So that's what some of Harshim explained. That's exactly in the machlekes where the mikra megillah is mid the rabbanon. So Kotten Shehigdil is Bagloipt. He tells me now Rab Yehuda is a Tana, he's an older, he's way after Bar Mitzvah. So he's telling me what happened before his Bar Mitzvah, you should be believed. And the Chachamim disagree, they hold that Kriyas HaMegillah is Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah, since it's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh, you should treat it like a Din Deraisa. Divrei Kabbalah K'Divrei Torah Damyan, so Kotten Shehigdil should not be Bagloipt. Some want to say that Gufa is the Machlokes HaTanoim. The rules they both subscribe to, that a cotton who's now bar mitzvah is believed on a din derabbanan, not believed on a din deraisa. The machlekes is, what is the status of mikra megillah? Is it a pure derabbanan, or is it something higher than a derabbanan? Divrei kabbalah k'divrei Torah damyan, so you should not be bagloik, should not be believed. Yeah.
Is there an accepted definition for a shel teva? Is it an IQ test? What is a shel teva?
No, cheresh in the days of the Gemara, deaf mute would be retarded. Today, cheresh means ain shemei ve'ain medaber, deaf mute. So, we'll get to it. So, cheresh really doesn't mean a deaf mute. A cheresh means retarded. So, if a person has a shvache intelligence, so shvach that he has below a shvache 13-year-old, he has a shvache cup. He doesn't understand. 13-year-old understands a lot. A Jewish 13-year-old goes to yeshiva, he learns in the morning, he studies secular studies in the afternoon. Not talking about Jewish kids. Talking about the nochrim, who don't have a double program and then the heads are not so sharp. So if you take a shvacha 13-year-old who's not retarded, and this retarded person is so retarded that he's weaker than that. So that's called a cheresh. Shoita means deranged. The guy can be the world's biggest genius, but he's absolutely crazy. He thinks that he's whatever. He thinks that he's a Stalin. Things that he's Ben Gurion, whatever. He can be talking on the phone and making business and everything, but he's crazy. He thinks he's somebody else. So the Gemara tells you, what was haste meshuga? Was haste meshuga? Yeah. Two different things. Cheresh, even if he is Shema and he is Medaber, he's not deaf and he's not mute at all. He is able to function, but he can hear and he can speak, but he's retarded. So if he's significantly retarded, he's weaker, his his cup is shvacha than a shvacha 13-year-old, so that's called a cherish. That's retarded. And shaita is crazy. The differences between cherish and shaita, they're not always the same. Let's say if you're mekadosh and isha, cherish shaita v'katan, min haTorah, none of them are married. But midirabbanan, they make kiddushin for a cherish. Retarded people do have kiddushin midirabbanan. Not only retarded person with a retarded spouse. Even if one is retarded, the other one is healthy. Some people can get along with a retarded spouse. Some people want it better. They're not going to answer back. they like it better like that. But a shaita, they never made even a takana de rabbanon, that there should be kiddushin for a shaita. So the Gemara has the expression, ein adam dorim nochash bikfifa achas. You can't live with a snake in the same small apartment. Shaita is min haTorah, there's no kiddushin, even with the rabbanon, there's no kiddushin. But a cherish, there is kiddushin with the rabbanon. Retarded people can have kiddushin with the rabbanon. But min haTorah, all three are the same. The katan means before bar mitzvah, before bas mitzvah, the child can be the Vilna Goyen, the biggest genius in the world. Al pidin, before bar mitzvah, before bas mitzvah, we consider them lab b'nei das. So when they get married, the kiddushin is not chal, and so on.
What's the difference between a cherish? What's the difference between a shoita and a cherish?
Cherish means retarded, and shoita means deranged. Crazy.
What if he's on medication? The deranged person.
So when he's on medication, he's normal. And when he doesn't take it, then he's crazy. So the halacha recognizes a person who's itim cholim, itim shoita. We recognize such halacha. We recognize. When he's healthy, he's considered a bardas. When he's not healthy, not. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. A person, this case, there's machlekes in the end of Gittin. If a person has a mishagas, but we have the medication, and if he takes the medication, he functions normally. So when he didn't take the medication, does he have a din like a shaita? Or no, maybe he has the din like a person who's sleeping. A person who's sleeping is not a gavra la bardas. Let's say I appoint a shliach to give a get to my wife, and then I become the shtata. Then I become senile, or I become, what do you say, before people die, dementia. He doesn't know bechlah what's going on. So that's a lab bardas. So the shliach cannot deliver the get if I lose my seichel. But the shliach can deliver the get when I'm sleeping. I'm a bardas. While I'm sleeping, I'm not able to express my das. So that's machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. If a person seems to be, doesn't have das, but some may be odon. We have the some, we have the medication, and we can give it to him. We just didn't give it to him now. So do you consider him itim shoita? Do you consider him now as a shoita? So if the shliach will give the get while he's in the state of dementia, so the get will be no good? Or you say, no, it's like a person is sleeping. Since we have the medication, you can easily solve the problem. So he's not considered a gavra la bardas. We're machmer over there. We consider that a shoita also.
Same thing applies with
Shrita. Shrita
would be the same.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. So this is the first version of Ravina's Pshat. The Ravina claims in the Mishnah, the first line tells me, you wouldn't believe it, Achidish, that there are people allowed to Shech Lachatchili, even though you wouldn't think so. Who is that? That's the one who knows Hilcha Shchita. We know that he knows Hilcha Shchita. Let's say he got Kabbalah, he has a degree. That he knows Hilcha Shchita, but we don't know if he has any experience or not. So we allow him to Shecht Lechatchila, that's not a problem.
What about the reverse? If you have somebody who's a very good Shochet, but he doesn't know
how Halacha. Oh. So then we wouldn't allow him to Shecht Lechatchila, and even with the Eved, we wouldn't rely on his Shchita. We wouldn't rely on his Shchita.
Even though he's an expert in doing it.
Yeah, we saw many times that he knows how to do the Malacha, he does a wonderful job. So if people are watching him who know Hilcha Shchita and they can testify that he did it correctly, he's good. And if no one is watching and he himself doesn't know the halachas, he always does it the right way. So we can't rely on that. Yeah.
But if he knows the halacha, what's the havamina to say that it wouldn't be good?
I would have thought it's no good. We don't know if he has any experience or not.
He doesn't. It always has to be a first.
So the first couple of times someone should watch him under supervision.
He knows he could say, I did it correctly. I know how it has to be done.
I don't know. I would not have said so.
Doesn't he have to have a manual skill?
Yeah.
He knows how lucky, he knows how
but then, so he knows he messed up. If he can't do it, he can't do it.
But if he never did it a few times under supervision, he may not even realize himself that this case doesn't correspond to Sif Aleph, it corresponds to Sif Yud. It's no good. He may think that he knows the dina, but if you don't really have the actual experience, he may be judging wrong. He may be misjudging the case. Let's see again. So the Gemara says, Chutz mecheir shayta v'katan, that's no good, afilu b'di'evet namilo. Even b'di'evet, if he shechts, no one is watching Tignish. Why? Shema yashe, shema yidrus, shema yachlid, and maybe they make a psula neshchita, v'kulam sheshachto, but if someone else was watching, then it's good. So then the Gemara asked again, v'kulam sheshachto ahei. That next line in the Mishnah, that all of these cases, if someone else is watching, then it's going to be good. So the Gemara says, what does it refer back to? Which case in the Mishnah? If I should say kulam sheshachtu, only goes back on cherishah to v'katan, the line immediately preceding it, cherishah to v'katan, who shechta by the, well, no one else watching is no good. However, if other acherim are watching, then it's good. So why should it say v'kulam sheshachtu? We're talking about cherishah to v'katan. So it should just say, v'macherim ra'im ha'isam is good. So obviously it sounds like Kulam Sheshachtu is not only going on Cheresh HaTavikot, it's also going on something in the Reisha of the Mishnah. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Kulam Sheshachtu, hey, the last line in the Mishnah, what does it refer to? If I should say that it only goes on Cheresh HaTavikot, alokoi, that's what we're talking about, Cheresh HaTavikot. The second line in the Mishnah goes on Cheresh HaTavikot. So it should say, Vim Shachtu V'acherim Ha'ra'im Ha'isam Ha'boilei. Why does it say Kulam? Ella, it sounds like it doesn't only go on Cheresh HaTavikot, it also goes on Ella Ashein Mumchim. It goes on the one who shechted, and he doesn't know Hilchos Shechita. So why do you have to have other people? Why do you require that someone else should be watching? The Bot Gemos HaSagi, give him a pchina now after he finishes the Shechita and see if he knows Hilchos Shechita. Why do you have to have other people watching? After the Gemara, the last line in the Mishnah goes, the Lesil Kamon de Libdike. The guy shechted the behem and he disappeared. And we don't know in advance whether he knows Hilchos Shechita and he disappeared. We don't know to give him a b'china. So then the din is, if other people watching who know Hilchos Shechita, and they were watching from the beginning to the end, and they can testify that he did a good job, so then it's good. So that's the first version of Ravina. The Ravina is saying, Hakol Shechtim, you can permit the person to shecht l'chatchila, provided that he knows Hilchos Shechita, even though you don't know if he has any experience whatsoever. Enough, you don't know if he has the skills, the manual skills. And the second version, Ravina, is Pong Faker. The Ika di Amri, another say of Ravina's version, differently, Ravina Omar. It's interesting, Ravina Ravashi was supposedly the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli. So they're quoting two versions that you would have thought they can quote two versions of what Abai Barabbas said in one of the earlier generations. But these are the people who are editing, so obviously it was edited after Ravina Ravashi. Yeah. So there were two versions of what Ravina said over here. The Ika, the Ami, another version has it. Ravina Amar, Hachiktani, Faker. Hakol Shochtim, Hakol Mechzokim Shochtim. You can allow anyone to Shecht, provided that you know that he has experience. We watched him a few times, two or three times, and we saw that he does a good job. Hakol Shochtim means Hakol Mechzokim Shochtim. And what does it mean? Mechzokim Apishem Mumchim. We just know that. We watched him shecht a few times, he knows what he's doing. We don't know if he knows Hilchos Shechita, though. Could be he doesn't even know Hilchos Shechita.
He doesn't have to have a license that he's a shochet?
The minig today is that you have to have a license. That's the Ramah quotes that from the days of the later Rishonim. That's called Kabbalah. Like by a Rav, you need smicha, so a shochet needs Kabbalah. Yeah. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have such an institution. They didn't have what we call smicha either. They didn't have our kind of smicha either.
Teretz
and before the Yeshua,
right?
Yeah.
What's a
teretz?
Why is that any different than the
Shota Bekotten
that somebody's watching anyway?
Same thing. Cheresh HaTavikot, and if other people watching is fine. The other people know. And this fellow, we don't know if the guy knows the dinim or not.
Exactly the same thing, so it should say Vim Shachtu, I would understand this.
No, Vim Shachtu, if it only goes on Cheresh HaTavikotin, then it should say Vim Shachtu.
That's a Kalvah Homer. If the Cheresh HaTavikotin can do it and I see it, for sure they don't know. So this
right.
Guy, if I'm watching him and it's okay, then for sure it's got to be okay. So
okay.
What's the Mishnah telling?
Tell me the obvious. Okay, tell me it didn't. I would have known on my own. Good. If other people are watching, it's good. Whether the one is doing the shechita is chayav shehet v'katan, one who does the shechita is one who does no hilcha shechita. Same thing. But it doesn't only go, you're right, it doesn't only go on chayav shehet v'katan. It goes on the first line. You say it's a kal v'chomer. Okay, this is a kal v'chomer. But that's why the Mishnah wrote, v'kulam v'shochta, goes on the first line and on the second line. It doesn't just go on the second line. If it would only go, Acherim Rav Moshe would only go on the second line on Acher Shet V'Katan. So it shouldn't say the word V'Kulam. It should say V'Im Shachtu. And if they, the Acher Shet V'Katan. Fine. So the second version of Avinah is Punk Faket from the first version. V'Ika the Amri Avinah Amahachi K'tani. For everything is Faket. Hakol Shachtim Hakol Mechzok Meshachtim. If a guy Shechted Lefaneinu a few times, and we see that he knows the technique, he does a good job. We don't know one way or the other whether he knows Hilchos Shechita. We don't know if he knows. So that's okay. We can allow him to shecht lechatchila as long as we know that we watched him shecht a few times and he did a good job. But medvar mamorim, when is that? He shechted in our presence, we were watching him, and he shechted two or three times and he didn't faint and he did a good job. Why does it say base, which is it, two times or three times? So that's usually assumed, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. How many times does something have to repeat itself that it should establish a chazoka? You should see a pattern. Is it enough two times or do you have to have three times? So that's a machlokes in Yevamos. So the Pashto says, that's a shalom here. Kum sheshachtol fenenu. Two or three times is an indication that you see a pattern over here. So one opinion will say two times and one opinion will say three times. Basically, give him a palm. There's a Tosfos later has such an opinion that Mechal Shabbos Pefer Hesi Dinakin Nochri only applies if he's Mechal Shabbos a few times. If the first time that he's Mechal Shabbos Pefer Hesi is not Dinakakum. So the Rishayim also in the Shulchan Aruch have a discussion. How many times did he have to be Mechal Shabbos Pefer Hesi? Two times or three times? So they say perhaps it depends on this Machlokes and Yevamos, whether how many times does something have to repeat itself that it should establish a pattern, that there's a shtickle pattern over here. That's the machlekes. How many times do we establish a chazaka? Two times or three times? That's the machlekes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, right. We pass in a compromise. Some dinim you need three times, and some dinim two times is enough. Let's say in the days of the Gemara, they didn't know to ascertain whether a baby has hemophilia. They didn't know. They knew there was such a machle that a person bleeds and he bleeds to death. The blood doesn't clot. So if you think that a baby boy may have hemophilia, you don't do the bris milah, he's going to die. So how can you know? So if this woman lost two babies after having a bris, or her sister, it goes by the sisters, or if her sister lost a baby, she lost a baby, so or the mother and the sister and so on, so then it's a machlokes, how many babies have to die after? They didn't know how to know. That he really had hemophilia. They were guessing everything, but they knew such a machla existed that the blood doesn't clot. So it's either two babies die or three babies die, and then it establishes a chazok, and then it's called a suffix. So with machmir, there are two babies. If two babies die, it's already enough of a chazok that you're not allowed to do the bris on the next baby. Katlanis also, we say two times. Yeah, that's a strange thing. The Gemara has, if a woman is married and the husband died, and we don't know the reason for the death. Today, everybody always knows the reason for the death. In the days of the Gemara, there was such a thing. A person dies. I had a cousin, a female cousin. So her first husband was Yeshiva Bacher, who had a heart condition before he got married. So they had a few children, and then he died from his heart condition. He had a condition before they got married. Then the second husband, after the first husband died, she married her teacher, who was 20 years older than her. So he died at a ripe old age, whatever, of 75, and she was only in her 40s. So the second husband died from old age. So she married a third time. The whole din of Katlanis. The Gemara says, if a woman is married two times and two husbands die, you don't know what to attribute the death to, so you have to be concerned. Maybe there's something that living with this woman causes the husbands to die. But today, we can always ascertain what the cause of death was. So there's rarely a din of Katlanis. The Rambam was a doctor, so the Rambam never quoted the whole din of Katlanis. He didn't hold for the whole thing. And he writes in the Tshuva that his father learned by the Rimigash. Rimigash was the Talmud of the Rif. So he considered the Rimagash, Rabbi Yosef ibn Migash, he considered him his Rebbe, because as a young child, the Rimagash gave him a bracha, that he should be matzlich and learn. And he says, the Rimagash, he writes, Sichla Mavis b'chol ha-talmud. He was super genius. Rimagash was super genius. So he says, he heard that the Rimagash, he never saw, he was a little child. He said, he heard the Rimagash used to be Masada Kiddushin by Katlanis cases. He didn't hold from the whole din of Katlanis. Well, then the Katlan is really, it never applies to Bismanazet. We can always ascertain the cause of death. I remember when my cousin got married for the third time, so the third husband had a job. The first husband was a yeshiva bacher. The second husband was a retired teacher. And then the third husband finally is a normal guy. So my uncle was finally happy. My daughter finally married a guy. He's making a parnasa. After all those children from the first husband and the second husband, yeah. So the Gemara says, the Ikadam, the second version, is fakir. We can trust the guy with shechita, even though we don't know one way or the other whether he knows hilcha shechita. But we saw him shecht a few times, two or three times, probably a machlekes, whether two times or three times. We learned the salaf, and he didn't faint, and he knew how to hold the knife, and he knew exactly the technique, how to shecht. But if he didn't, we never saw him shechting. We don't know if he knows the technique. Lo yishchad, we shouldn't allow him to shecht by himself. He may faint in the middle. We can allow him to shecht if we'll be watching, but you can't allow him to shecht on his own. He may not do a good job. He may not even realize that he did a good job. But if the yevid, if he shechted, if he did shecht and he tells us, I know for sure I didn't faint. So then shchitosek shere, then we would believe him. Chutz mecheru shayte v'katan, dafilu b'diyabit namilo, shem ayashu, etc. Then the Gemara asks the same question, v'kulno sheshachto, hey, the last line in the Mishnah, v'kulno sheshachto, what does it refer back to? Laima, if you should say that it only goes, it certainly goes on cheru shayte v'katan, does it only go on cheru shayte v'katan? Laima, if you should say it goes only on cheru shayte v'katan, alakoi, the third line follows the second line, so obviously it goes on cheru shayte v'katan. So why does it say the kulam sheshachtu? Should say v'im shachtu meboile. If these three that we just mentioned in the second lecher shachtu v'kot, el hashen muchzakim, it goes back on the first line also, not only on the lecher shachtu v'kot sheshachtu and others are watching. It goes on the einam muchzakim. We don't know one way or the other whether the guy has experience in shechting. So then the Mishnah says, oh, as long as someone else is watching is good. So frag the gemara, what do you need someone else watching? You just said in the reisha. Hakol shechtim. If we know that we watched a few times, we can let him shecht lechatzel. Even though we don't know if he knows hilcha shechita, and then shechitas and ksheira, the third and the fourth words of the Mishnah. What is that? Shechitas and ksheira. If we don't know whether he knows the technique or not, and he shechted, we weren't watching, and he tells us that he didn't faint in the middle and he did a good job. So it says we trust him. So why does it say in the last line in the Mishnah that if the one is not a muchzak? Shechted, if someone else was watching this good, what if Muhammad the Barili Sagi just said in the Resha, Shchitasim Shebriya, but as long as it says Barili Shalon Salafti, I know for sure that I didn't faint in the middle. And for the Gemara, the last line goes, the Lesa Kamon de Lashaila, the one who did the Shchita is not here. If he would be here, he tells us, I didn't faint in the middle. It's good. He's not around. So then the Mishnah says, you have to have other people watching the whole time. We'll say that he did a good job.
Why does the Gemara focus only on fainting? I mean, there are a lot of other things that could go wrong in a shechita besides fainting.
I think it means all of them. Fainting is one, and the others are the same. You didn't know how to. You have to figure out how much pressure to use pushing down, and you have to fiddle back and forth, but you have to push down at the same time. So you have to figure that out. Everything. You have to know the technique. Everything. So Bikitsa, the Gemara gave six pshatim. There were five Amoraim, there were two versions of Ravina. So there were six pshatim in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to run through just technicality. How come he didn't say the same as him? How come he didn't say the same as him? Why are they fighting with each other? So the Gemara says, Ravina v'rabba barula kabai v'rove v'rabashi loyamri. They didn't like the three pshatim on Amar Aleph. We had Abai and Rava, then you had Ravashi on the bottom. So that was Gimel Amar Aleph. So the first Amora was Rabba Barula, and over here is Ravina, the two versions. So Ravina again. Where is it again? Ravina and Rabba Barula, the last two versions. And the first one was Rabba Barula. They didn't like the Pshatim, the three Pshatim on Gimel Amar Aleph. Abai, Verov, Ravashi, Loyami, they didn't like the Pshat. Why? Shem Dekashalu V'kulam. It was sticky. Why? The Gemara said, "Kashit." We don't know the answer. We call them sheshachdu. We really should say v'im shachdu. It only goes back on the last line. So it doesn't really fit in. The din is good. The dinim that they said are good, but it doesn't really fit into the Mishnah. Kiraba barula le'amri. All the amaraim are not happy. Again, kulu. All the other amaraim. Kula kiraba barula le'amri. All the amaraim didn't like the first pshat. Rabba barula. What did Rabba barula say again? He said the Mishnah says, "Hakol shochtim." You even permit a tummy to shecht chulin. What's the chiddush? Of course, a tummy can shecht chulin. Everybody's tummy. Everybody's no. I mean, even chulin shenaso al taras hakodesh. It's a person who lives in Yerushalayim. He's always every month in Donishtik, he's eating karbonis, and he wants to practice to eat everything b'tahara. Even the flesh he should eat. Even chulin he should eat b'tahara. So, but l'chatchila we would permit a tummy to shech. The worst thing that will happen is the tummy will touch the flesh after the shechita is over. So it will be tummy. It won't become puzzle. If a tummy touches a carbon after he shechts it, the carbon is mekabel tuma. If a tummy touches a carbon while it's alive, a live animal is not mekabel tuma. Only all the mekelim ochlim and mashkin. But after he finished the shechita, then it's ochlim, then the flesh is ochlim. So if it's chulin, so there's no gzeira de rabbanon. The tummy is permitted to shech tchulin. No kilkel can happen. The worst thing that happened, they'll touch it. So only tamein will eat it. Adonim Torah won't eat it. Shem won't be a prop. So the difficulty was that din that a tummy is permitted to shech tchulin, but a tummy lachatchilu shouldn't shech kachim. That appeared in the Mishnah and Zvachim as well. Mishnah and Zvachim says that a zar, a non-kohen, a cholol, a shikir, a yoshev, a kohen who's sitting, all the people who are puzzled to do kabbalas adam, halachas adam, zrikas adam, they're all kosher to do shechita. All the rules and regulations, who's puzzled to do avoida, doesn't apply to shechita because shechita lav avoida. Shechita's karbon, it doesn't have all the dinim like akrovas akorban. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah there says, a tomei kin shecht. But the Eved, Lachatchili shouldn't shecht the carbon because he may touch the carbon after the shechita, he'll passel it. But the Eved, a tummy shecht is good by carbonus also. So the Gemara asked, why do you have it repeated? The opening Mishnah Chulin and this Mishnah in Zvachim, why is it a repeat? So the Gemara said, well, the main place is really in Zvachim, and this is Derech Agav, and the main place over here, and that one is Derech Agav. So the other Amoraim are not happy with the Pshat of Rabba Barula. It doesn't make sense to have the exact same din appearing in two different mesichtas. They don't like the answer that he gave. This one is Iker, and that one is Derech Agav, but that's Iker, and this is Derech Agav. So they didn't like that answer. So that's what the Gemara says now. Kulu ki Rabba Barula, lo yamri, all the other Amoraim. Those say Stabayve, Ravim, Ravashi, and the two versions of Ravina. They didn't like Rabba Barula's pshat. Why? Laach Lishna di Amrit. There were two versions before. The Gemara asks, why is the same din appear in two mesichtas, both in Zvachim and in Chulin, that a tomei lechatchila shouldn't shech kachim, but for the Eved, if he shechts a carbon, and he says bari li shalona daiti, he knows for sure that he didn't touch the flesh after the shechit, it's good. So why do you have the same mishnah in two mesichtas? It's a strange gemara. You have every so often, you have exactly word for word the same mishnah in two mesichtas. It's rare, but you have. So why up all of a sudden in Gemara, the Amoraim didn't like Rabba Barula's pshat because it is kasha? You have a lot of times, I think, the exact same Mishnah and Tum Sikht. I don't know. So the Gemara says they all were not happy with Rabba Barula's pshat because of the repetition between Zvachim, the first Mishnah and Zvachim, and the Mishnah in the middle, the Mishnah in the second Derek and Zvachim, and the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Chulin. So the Gemara says, L'hach Lishna Diyam, according to that version that you said, Hocha Iker, the main place is here in Chulin, and over there in Zvachim is just Derech Agav. So he holds, so the Oli Amorai maybe disagree. Adarab, Hosam Iker, the Bekotchim Koi. So why do you have the same din repeated in two different places? They don't think that it makes sense that it should be repeated. They don't think that either of them is Derech Agav. L'hach Lishna, according to the other version that said the Amrit, that Rabbi Barula said, Hosamika, the real place where it belongs is in Zvachim. And our Mishnah is only Derech Agav. So they said, no. L'hach Lishna, according to the second version of Rabbi Barula, they said that what? Hosamika, the Mishnah in Zvachim is the main place. V'och, in the beginning of Chulin, I did a Tana Tami B'chulin, Tana Nami Tami B'Mekadashim. So the Gemara says, no, Tami B'chulin Gufalei, it's Trichlei. All the other Amoraim hold you don't even need the whole. The whole Mishnah is unnecessary because they hold the whole thing is wrong. The whole thing doesn't make sense. To say that's a machlekes and other mesichtes. It's unclear whether this din that the Gemara is talking about is a din de Rabbanon or just a minig. If it's a din de Rabbanon, so it's a machlekes, does it make sense to make such a din de Rabbanon? And if it's a minig, it's machlekes. If it's a minig shtus, so you don't observe such a minig. So it's machlekes. Is it a minig shtus or a good minig? What's the minig? That a person who lives in Yerushalayim and every month he eats karbanos, so he wants to observe a chumra, that even when he eats chulin, he wants to practice all week long for the 3-4 times a week that he eats karbanos. So he wants to eat everything al taras hakodesh, as if everything, as if all the chulin flesh that he's eating, as if everything was a carbon, he shouldn't eat anything in a state of tumah. So Rabbi Barula was saying, oh, chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, ki kodesh dami, you have to treat it like kodesh, but this chumra doesn't apply. When you shecht and kachim, you shouldn't allow a tomei lechatchila to shecht, because it may turn out a disaster, he may touch it al pasul the carbon. Here, if he's going to touch the chulin, after he finishes his shechita, won't be a disaster. So a tummy will eat it. Someone else will eat it. You won't eat it. So it's not a michshol. You won't passel the flesh. So the other amoraim don't agree with Rabbi Barula because they hold the whole thing is wrong. The hell chulin shenasa taras kodesh lav kikodesh dami. The minig is a minig shtus, so you don't observe such a minig. Or if the question was that it's a din de rabbanon, the rabbanon should never have made such a din de rabbanon. It doesn't make any sense. It's a chumra on a tam. That's how the Gemara says. Chul shenasa, the other Amoraim ho, chul shenasa taras kodesh, lav kekodesh damer, the minig is a minig shtus, and if it's a din de rabbanon also, they have no right to make such a din de rabbanon, doesn't make sense. Shai.
Such a minig also,
Al-Taras HaTrumah, the Gemara says, makes more sense. Because the Kohanim are always eating Trumah all the time. To eat Al-Taras HaKodesh, that's a machloikas. But to be makbid chulin shenasa al taras al truma for kohanim who always eating truma, so that makes more sense. Yeah, that I think the Gemara does approve that chulin shenasa al taras al truma is ketruma. That minig or that din de rabbanon, whatever it is, that does make sense. But chulin shenasa al taras al kodesh, that they don't like. That's the machlekes whether that makes sense or not. Yeah. Then we had the last two versions by Ravina. So the Gemara now is explaining why did the first. There were five Amoraim with two versions of Ravina. So why did the first four Amoraim not like either version of Ravina? So the Gemara says, Kula ki Ravina lo yamri. Well, the first four Amoraim don't like Ravina's pshat, the way he reads into the Mishnah. Why don't they like it? Lach lishna diyama mumchim en shen mumchim. According to the first version of Ravina, that he said, you shouldn't allow anybody to shecht unless you fahered them, unless you know that he knows hilcha shchita. So they disagree. You have a right to assume that if a person goes over and he's prepared to shecht an animal, you have a right to assume he probably knows hilcha shechita. You don't have to be choshed that the guy's going to shecht the behema without knowing hilcha shechita. That's how we pass. Most of the people.
We don't say that by
Gittin,
though.
No.
The person gives a gift, we don't assume that he knows.
We do. We also do. Rov suffer the dynamic magmiri, the most and the first daf. We rov suffering or right gitten, know that you have to have ksiba lishma. But they made a takana in chutzlort. You have to say before anach, because of the far-fetched possibility, far out chance that maybe the sofer didn't realize that you need ksiba lishma. But the Gemara says they also stam suffer the dynamic magmiri. Most of them do know. Yeah. Here it's a big machlekes, Rav Soloveitchik. Every time he went through Yeredeya, he used to say over from his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, after whom he was named. That was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father, was Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. So Rav Yoshe Ber has in his sefer that there's a big machlekes that we showed him. What's the nature of this roiv? Roman Tzuimeth Eshchit Mumchem Heim. Is this a psychological umdene that a person, Nemtzach Nishtunta, a person doesn't accept upon himself to do a job? Most normal people wouldn't accept to do a job if they don't know how to do it. So it's a psychological umdana, or should we say no? It's not a psychological umdana, but it's rather cheskas kashrus. That if you're talking about a religious person, and it's going to do a poor job of shechting, that's going to be machal nevelis to the other guy. So because of that, everyone has a cheskas kashrus. So that's why Roman Sumet Shchiti, you have the right to assume it's not going to be machal nevelis. Yeah, what's an afkamina? There are a lot of nafkaminas. So one of the major nafkaminas that the Beis Halevi talks about is on this Gemara. There's a major machlekes harishonim. Tosis touches on it a little bit. Reuven tumeitz shchita a little bit, but it's mainly the Rif and the Balamor and the Ramban. So they have a machlekes. A person shechts a behema. We don't know who he is. We don't know if he knows hilchos shchita or not. Shechts a behema, and he's still here. So do we have to faher him lechatchila? We don't. Ravina's first version was you can only let him shecht if you know that he knows hilchos shchita, and if he doesn't know, then if you don't know one or the other, you have to faher him. And if you don't know if he knew hilchos shchita, if leisa come under the shaila, he went away. So then you have to make sure someone else was watching, otherwise he can't eat the flesh. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin if the guy, a person shechts beim and he disappears, and no one was watching, we assume rovin so he made such shchita mumchim mehem. He probably did a good job. We assume it's good. So the shaila is, what if he is here? Do we have to faher him or not? Do we have to lachatchila? Do we have to try to faher him? So that's what the Rif and the Ramban comes to defend the Rif. The Rif says, if he's still here, he's still isikamon, the Shechet who Shechted is still lefaneinu, so we should faher him to see if he knows hilchos shchita. We should faher him. And the Balamor says, where did the Rif get that from? The simple reading in the Gemara is not so. Rovman seimet so shchita mumchehemeim. You don't even have to check about that. So the Beis Halevi explains that this is the machlokes. If it's based on cheskes kashrus, then there's a tesis in the end of the Yevamos, but tesis just like the Gemara has a lotion, a choshe b'ksherim is like a begufay. If a person is matel chashad on someone else, the other person is a religious Jew, and I make up my mind, I have a chashash, maybe he's not so observant. So a choshe b'ksherim is an avera. So you're not allowed to be choshe if Rav Mitzvah Meitz Shchitim Mumchim Heim is based on Cheskas Kashus, that everybody is a religious Jew. He's not going to be Machal Min Nevelis, so it's not even permissible Chatchila to Faher him after he does the Shchita. He's not allowed to question whether his Cheskas Kashus is good or not. But if it's not the Cheskas Kashus issue, it's a psychological lumden. A person does Nem Zechunta to do a job if he doesn't know how to do it. So then it's a psychological lumden. So if you have a Mil Tamotzvah, then you have to be Baidik. That's the Ramban, develops this long Ramban, and the Chidushi HaRamban, and practically word for word the same thing in the Ramban on the Rif, and he develops this idea. We have a practice that's based on this Ramban. He quotes a Medrash. Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he was instructed not to. So the Ramban quotes a Medrash. Adam Rishon was created on Friday, the sixth day of Sheshes May Bereshis, and a few hours after he was created, he already sinned. It's a chnishke kent einhalten. He couldn't. So the Medrash says if he would have waited till Friday night, he would have been able to eat from the Eitz Hadas. It was only osa b'chol. If he would have waited till Shabbos, would have been mutter. So look at that. He sinned. He didn't have self-control to wait a couple of hours. He couldn't wait. So the Medrash says, "Mi galo ofa meinecho Adam Arishon." We should dig Adam Arishon out from the grave. He's dead and buried, and he has dust on his eyes. We should dig you out and wipe off the ofa meinecho on your eyes. Look at the Jewish people. We shech the behema. We plant the tree. You don't eat the peris for the first 3 years. 3 years, hapman zachain. We have self control for 3 years. We don't eat, and the fourth year, first we'll pay the ravai, and then we eat it. And when you shech the behemah, you don't right away take the flesh and you eat it. You check to see if there are any sirchas on the lungs. So the Ramban explains what. So in Adam Rishon tzachnish kent einhalten. He couldn't wait a couple of hours. He would have waited till Friday night. Eitz Hadas would have been mutter. It's a fascinating medrash. So the medrash says derech agav when the yidden shech the behemah, they check the lungs to see if there are any. Why do you only check the lungs to see if there are any sirchas? There's a long list of 70 trefes, 70 trefes. So why do you only check for sirchas on the lungs? There's so many other trefes to check for. So the Ramban explains, because sirchas on the lungs is a miyot ha-motzoi, and all the others are miyot shein ha-motzoi. So and he says, this choyvas bedika, when you have a miyot ha-motzoi, you mukhiv to check lechatchila, the whole din is only midirabbanon, the whole chum is only midirabbanon, it only applies when you have a miyot ha-motzoi, let's say vegetables. If you have a bug in a vegetable, you're not allowed to eat the bug. Are you mechuyev to check? Are you mechuyev to wash all the vegetables, to wash off, to soak them and to scratch them and to check for the possibility of a bug? So the Ramban says it depends. What percentage likelihood is there that you're going to be eating a buck. So if it's imiyotam matzui, if it's a common percentage, then you need bedikah. If it's imiyotam matzui, then you don't need bedikah. So that's let's say you buy a suit, you have to check for shatnas. So you have to ask the shatnas people, the checkers, how common is it that if you buy this kind of a suit, whatever, I tell them what the company is, how often did you find shatnas in this suit? He says, very rarely. 1 out of 500 suits from that company. 1 out of 500, so you're not mukhif. But if it's a miyotamotze, then you're mukhif to be baidek for shatnas. So what's the definition? What's the percentage of miyotamotze? So the Mishkan is Yankev, who's a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valojina. So he writes in his Shuva, he thinks that miyotamotze means 10% and above. He says, Sirchitz, Rab Soloveitchik, used to give hashgachas on the slaughterhouse in Boston. And he said he used to use all the kulas on the book plus more. He used to be very makel because he wanted to make more money. So he used to be very makel on the Hilchus Treifus. And in his was not glatt kosher. And he used to have 14% treifus because of sirchus on the lungs. And he says in the glatt kosher place where they weren't makel, they only had 9%. So how can that be? He's makel on everything. His is not glatt kosher and he has 14%. And the glatt kosher only has 9%. It's glatt treif. Right, it's not kosher, it's not treif. The hashgacha was no good. That's what he used to say. So he used to assume, like the Mishkan is Yankiv, that miyotam matzah means 10%. So let's say you want to eat some vegetables, and you want to know, do you really have to be boidic? So it depends. How common is it that you'll find a bug in the vegetable, and how big a portion are you going to eat? Or let's say, to drink the water in New York City. So they say that every so often, there are dead bugs in the water. They're very hard to see. So how common is it that you're going to find a dead bug in the water? So different parts of the city, there are different likelihoods, different percentages. So if it's 10% or more, so the Mishkan is Yankiv holds, depends on how much water you're going to drink in one session. You're going to drink a whole gallon of water, then it's miyotam matzah, depending where you live. You're going to drink a half a cup of water, that's l'chala day, it's a miyotam matzah. It's not 10%, you're not going to find, if it's only half a cup of water, you don't have a 10% chance that you're going to be swallowing a bug. So that's the Ramban's klal on this Gemara, that the Rif understood in the Gemara, Rav Mitzumetu Shechita Mumcha Mehem, you rely on the Rubba Dalesa Kamon, that the one who shechted knows Hilcha Shechita, you only rely by the Ebed if he's not here. Lesa Kamon de Lashayli. But if the Shechit is still here, and we can fahar him, so you have to hurt his feelings, you have to insult him a little bit, you say, I want to fahar you, to see if you know Hilcha Shechita. Because since there's a miyotam matzah, you have shochtim who don't know hilchus shechita, was nemen zachunta to shecht and they don't know how to do hilchus shechita, so you have to be baidik. So that's the Ramban over here. And the Balamor apparently thought that it's not based on a psychological umdina that a person doesn't accept upon himself to do a job unless he knows how to do it, but it's rather based on cheskas kashas. A from a yid wouldn't be machal treifus to others. So if it's based on cheskas kashas, then you're not allowed to check. Then a chayshe b'ksherim loike b'gufa, you're not allowed to check. That's the Beis Halevi's interpretation of this machlokes here. Rabbi Yashiv had a taina against the Mishkan es Yankiv. Mishkan es Yankiv says that miyotam matzah is 10%. The Ramban quoted a medrash that you check for sirchus on the lungs. You don't check for any other trade, you only check sirchus on the lungs. So the medrash was probably written in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yashiv said that in Eretz Yisrael, the fact happens to be that only 7% of the animals that they shecht have sirchus on the lungs. Not like in America, 14%. Rav Zalevich said he was mekel and there were 14% treifas because of sirchus on the lungs. And Eretz Yisrael is half. It's only 7%. So Rabbi Yashiv assumed that it was always so. We don't know. It was always so. Apparently America, the air is more polluted or they mistreat the animals so much. So it's 14% to have sirchus on the lungs. So he said... Since the records, the last 100 years in Eretz Yisrael, the slaughterhouses, they only have 7% of the animals that they shecht have sirchus on the lungs. So he thought that 7% is a miyotam matzah. So you have to be machmer by the bugs in the vegetables and machmer by the shatnas testing and so on. Whenever there's a likelihood of miyotam matzah, yeah. Let's say about the, in Shulchan Aruch it says, before you say the bracha on the talis, you should check to make sure that the strings are not torn. Sometimes the strings are torn, so it's still kosher. Sometimes the strings will be ripped in such a way that the whole tzitzis is possible. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should check before you say the bracha on the talis to make sure that the strings are not ripped, that you shouldn't be saying a bracha levatola because of the chumar a bracha levatola. Why only because of bracha levatola? Why not for the mitzvah of tzitzis. He may be violating the mitzvah. He may be wearing a four corner garment without tzitzis. So they say, no, really, mitzad the mitzvah, you don't have to, because it's not really a mir tamotzi. It's not really a mir tamotzi, but because of bracha levatola, that's a serious avera, so you should be machmer to make sure you don't say a bracha levatola. The recent poskim say that we today use better strings. How often has it happened? You check your talis every day. How often have you found that your talis? Never. You're checking the talis for the last 45 years, since you got married. And the strings are never torn, unless it got caught in a seat, then you know it. If it got caught in a nail, so you'll know it, so you know right away whether it's torn or not. But if people are checking for 45 years and the strings never rips, obviously our strings are much better than they used to be. So that's such a strong rive, you don't even have to check for the bracha batala purposes. There's no need. If it depends, they still make shvachet tzitzis, they still make chutim. They have chutim that are extremely expensive, that they do avodas yad. They do, instead of doing everything by machine, they do it all by hand. Right. Those are all that is not called the shema. If you push a button and the machine does it, the whole is not called the shema. So they charge 10 times as much if you do avodas yad. So some of that, the tzitzis that are 10 times as expensive, avodas yad, the strings are very, very shvach and they rip right away. So those, that you gotta check. That you gotta check every day. That's takami or tamotzi. Forget about the bracha levatolish. You have to check every day. Maybe the strings tore. Maybe you'll be mevatel the mitzvah of wearing an arba kamfis without tzitzis. But the whole story about the miyu tamotz and miyu shenimotz, it's all the Ramban on this Gemara. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He said, there's not a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that you have to check for sirchas on the lungs. The reason why the Ramban said you have to check only sirchas and the others not, he quoted a medrash. Medrash only worried about checking the sirchas because the sirchas on the lungs is a mir tamotzi. So Rav Soloveitchik said that in young calves, I don't know if it's still the same, he said years when he used to give the hashgacha in young calves, it was very common that they would keep them in a corral in the springtime outside, and the calves would nibble on the nails on the wooden fence around the corral. The nail would go into the stomach and make a hole in the intestines. So that would be a trefa also. So he said at that time he insisted that, and that was a miyot hamotzi, that was more than 10% of the animals had holes in the kishkis because in the calves, because they didn't have seichel and they used to swallow. So he said it's not halacha mishnah that you have to dafke check for sirchas on the lungs, whatever it's miyot hamotzi. So he came to the realization that calves in the springtime is a miyot hamotzi. I remember several years ago when I visited Eretz Yisrael once in the summer. Many years ago, 30 years ago. He said, it's on the summer, so they took me on a tour of Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. So the rabbi was showing me, I forgot, there was an American rabbi. An American young man was the rabbi in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. So he was showing me things that he knew I would be interested in. So he shows me that they put a metal magnet about this size inside the stomach of every calf. So when it swallows the lungs, when it swallows the nails all get caught on the magnet, and it doesn't go right through the intestines to make a hole. So he shows me what the magnet looks like before they put it in the stomach. Then he shows me a magnet that they took out of the stomach after they shechted one of these sheep, and it's all black and it's full of nails. Attacker picked up a whole bunch of nails. So that's because they realized that the nails are going to go right through the intestines and make holes. So they inserted this magnet into the stomach that it should prevent it from becoming a trefa. Yeah. So this is the famous Gemara, Rav Mutzu Meitz Shechita Mumchem Heng. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he had two grandfathers. So they had disagreements on certain things. And one of the things that they disagreed about was Kriyas HaTorah. Is it a Chayvus HaYochid or Chayvus HaTzibur? That's a person, for some reason or another, davens at home. Monday or Thursday morning, he davens at home. He's traveling on an airplane, whatever. He doesn't have a minyan. So does he have a chayvus? Is he mechuyev to try to find a minyan in the afternoon, Monday, Thursday afternoon, that he has to hear Kriyas HaTorah? They say, no. If 10 people daven shachris together, then the tzibur is mechuyev to hear Kriyas HaTorah. But if a person is all by himself and not mechuyev. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to every so often go for meetings of the Vada Rabbanim of Poland, and he would be traveling in the morning, he would miss Kriyas HaTorah, he would daven Mechidus on the train, he would miss Kriyas HaTorah. So he would always make a point of stopping off somewhere in the afternoon and collecting 10 balabatim who hadn't yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, and he would learn Kriyas HaTorah. He says his other grandfather made fun of the Zayde Rab Chaim, and he showed Rav Soloveitchik there's a Ramban on the bottom of the Rif in Megillah where the Ramban writes in Beferish, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Ramban. Ramban writes Beferish that the Kriyas HaTorah is a Chavis HaTzibur. If 10 people daven together, the shachris, they mechuyev to learn Kriyas HaTorah. The person, for some reason or another, daven mechid, is not mechuyev to hear Kriyas HaTorah. But the Zayde Rab Chaim insisted he always used to gather together with me. So on one occasion, he stopped off somewhere by train, and he went into the shul, and he asked people in the afternoon, anybody miss Kriyas HaTorah? They had a whole bunch of people miss Kriyas HaTorah. So he said, okay, so they're gonna learn Kriyas HaTorah. Fine. So then he says, anybody know how to learn? One guy said, I know how to read. So he, okay, you're going to learn. So the Kohen says the first bracha. Then the guy says, hey, they didn't tell me they know Nukudas. They didn't tell me they know Nukudas. The first time in his life he ever looked in the Sefer Torah. The guy always got aliyahs, he never bothered to look. And now they asked him that he should learn. He said, they never told me they know Nukudas. Yeah. So usually we assume that a mensch nemtzach nishtunt to do something unless he knows what it's all about.
I remember the Rav doing that, getting boys together in cases. We came from Boston and...
Yeah, a lot of times the Rav would take an early plane, an early train, whatever, and he would miss Tefillah B'Tzibur in the morning. So after class, after Shia, he would ask, is there anybody who missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? So every single time there was always a minyan of people, students who raised their hand, so he would learn Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. So he would do it like on a tiny steeper. He would say Ashrei. Then they said Chatzi Kaddish. Then they took out the Sefer Torah and they leaned. Then they put it back in Menucha Yoimar. Then they said Chatzi Kaddish again. Then he used to daven Mincha. The others quote that Rab Chaim's practice was that he would lean in the afternoon, but they say he wouldn't do it like on the Taina Siva. I don't know why. Rab Soloveitchik always did like on the Taina Siva. He used to lean the Kriyas HaTorah. And the people who would be walking by in the halls thought it's a new brisker shita. You have to lean Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. They didn't realize he had missed Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. It's not a brisker shita. A brisker shita, that's a question whether he can be yotzei Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. So most of the poskim say no, it doesn't. Most of the poskim say yes. You don't necessarily have to lay in dafke after shachris. Kriyas HaTorah is all day long. If you missed it in the morning, you can lay in the afternoon. Except for Shabbos, that's a shot. Maybe Shabbos, that's a rapsolvechik thought, since it's a separate Kriyas HaTorah takana for the afternoon, after mincha, supposed to lay in next week's edras, and maybe the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning is only in the morning. Because HaTorah in the afternoon is only afternoon. So let's say there was a snowstorm in the morning or something, and nobody came to shul. And then in the afternoon, everything is normal, and everybody comes to shul. Can they lay in the Parshas HaShavu in the afternoon that they were supposed to lay in the morning? So the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that Terezi came and says yes. So Leitchik thought he's not so convinced about that. He thought Monday or Thursday is a different story. And Shabbos afternoon, maybe it's different because the separate takon is morning and afternoon.
But that's according to Rav, that they were late before Ashrei. But Rav was part of Mincha. You made it like a Tanasibah, that you're late before Ashrei, so maybe it's not yet.
I don't know if it's connected. Could be. I don't know.
What did he hold if the person just walked out? You missed an aliyah.
Yeah. He used to follow his grandfather Rab Chaim that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chavis HaYochid, so he thought that everyone's Mechuyev to hear. He once dedicated a whole Yahrzeit Shia to explain a story that he said that his uncle Rav Elvala once came into shul late Mincha Shabbos afternoon. He came in after the Kohen said Baruch Hashem Amvayrach. Kohen was about to say Asher Bacha Banu. So Rav Elvala missed Baruch Hashem Amvayrach, didn't miss the Kriyas HaTorah, didn't miss even Asher Bacha Banu. So he says he remembers his uncle said, I miss Kriyas HaTorah, I have to go to a different shul. So he gave a whole yahrzeit to Rashi to explain why are you not yahrzeit Kriyas HaTorah if you didn't hear Baruch Hu, why the Baruch Hu is makkah. So he was giving him a kurus in Gemara Megillah to explain. He started off the assumption that what his uncle said was correct, and then he tried to prove it from the Gemara. He used to say stories about his uncle every so often. There was a period of time that they were all together, a year and a half that they were all together. Right. Yeah, so the Gemara had two versions of Ravina's Shita. So the first version was that Ravina insists, Akol Shochtim L'chatchila, you can only allow a person to Shecht if you know that he knows Hilchos Shechita. You shouldn't let him Shecht on the smach that you're going to Faher him later. B'diyevet, if somebody Shechts and you don't know one way or the other whether he knows Hilchos Shechita, then we Faher him later, b'diyevet, it's good. But L'chatchila, you shouldn't allow that. You don't have to know whether he knows the techniques of shechting or not, that we'll see. But he has to know shechita. So the other four Amoraim would not accept that version of Ravina. They hold it's not true. Rav Mitzvah meets the shechita mumchem hein. You don't have to fahir him to see if he knows. We have the right to assume that he knows. And then we're on the first wide line on Gimel Amud Beis. Ulahach lishnan, according to the second version of Ravina, the Yom Amurzok Emen, Shem Urzok Emlo, that even Ravina himself also agrees, we don't have to know that he knows Hilchah Shechita, we just have to know that he knows the technique, that he shechted a few times in front of us. Why? Because otherwise you're afraid maybe he'll faint in the middle and maybe he won't do a good job. So the other Amoraim disagree. Yeah, what are you talking about? La lufi lo chashina. You don't have to worry about fainting. You don't have to worry about that. That's what the Ramban is medayik in the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara said, whether he knows Hilchah Shechita or not, you don't have to be concerned because Rov Mitzvah Meitz Shechita Mumchem Heim. And then when they're rejecting the second version of Ravina, so they say, you don't have to worry, maybe he fainted. Why didn't they formulate it the same as before? Why didn't they say before? So the Ramban is medayik. No, you don't have to be worried at all. You don't even have to ask him lachatchila. About knowing Hilchah Shechita lachatchila, you should fahir him. If he's leisa kamon, deliver the kef. If he's not around, then you rely on the roiv b'riyev. So that's the Ramban's diuk, that in the first wide line and the second wide line on Gimel and Beis, the Loshen is not the same. Lo v'lechashinah means you're not concerned at all. And Rav Mitzvah Meitz Shechita Mumchem Heim is a roi, but there's a miyot ha-matzah. So the miyot ha-matzah, you do have to be worried about.
Would it be possible to have a difference between a roi and a chazaka? The chazaka
The word chazaka is the Prima Gadim writes in the Psicha HaKalah. The word chazaka appears in the Gemara, I think, with six different meanings. So one chazaka, if something happens two or three times, you see a pattern. That's one kind of chazaka. Then there's another chazaka, such a strong rive. Chazaka means a ruba delesa kamon. So usually that's what many poskim say. Chazaka means it's stronger than a plain rive. A rive can be 51%, 61%, 71%, 81%. Can have 1,000 degrees of what's a rive. Chazaka means it's a very strong rive. Chazaka, einan parei tochzman. It's such a strong chazaka, you might see moment based on that. Chazaka means a very strong rive. Yeah, there are different degrees of rives. Then there are another four kinds of chazaka. The cheskabatim, chazaka's kanekarka, there are all kinds of chazaka, kamaisa, chazaka de ashta, status quo. All the word chazaka appears in the Gemara in different meanings. Yeah. Then we had an Amud Aleph, there was a machlokes Abaye v'Rava. So Abaye said that Yotzev v'Nichnas is only good b'dieved. He held that it's not good l'chatchila. And Rabbi disagreed. Rabbi had enough in the Mishnah and Avodah Zarah that yes, v'nichnas is good by the Stam Yenim even l'chatchila. So the Gemara says on the second wide line, Rabbi lo yamak Abaye, Rabbi disagrees with Abaye's pshat, ki kushye, like the kasha that he asked against Abaye. Rabbi disagreed with Abaye because he quoted that Mishnah and Avodah Zarah that you see that yes, v'nichnas is even good l'chatchila. Abaye lo amaki Rava, but Rava quoted the Mishnah, so how does Abaye get around that? So Abaye answers, no, the Mishnah, I left the goyish worker in the store. I have a wine store, and I have barrels of wine that were opened. You can take the lid off, and the goy can take the lid off and stick his fingers in. He can ask for the wine, but all the barrels of wine are closed. The bottles of wine are closed. There are a couple of barrels that are open. So I don't know that the guy is not touching the barrel of wine, but over here the fellow shechting the behemoth, the kusi is shechting the behemoth. He's touching the behemoth, so maybe he'll make it an avela, but I'm not watching. So that's why he says Abaye lo amaki Rava. Abaye doesn't agree with Rava's Mishnah that he quoted from Avodah Zarah because hasam by the barrels of wine loy nage. You don't know that the guy is touching the barrels as long as the yotze b'nichnas, the balabas doesn't say I'm going to daven mincha and I'm not going to be back for the next 20 minutes. He just goes out, he says, I'm coming right back. And he doesn't say when he's coming right back. So then, Yotze v'nichnas, the balabas doesn't have to be concerned. Maybe the guy asked the wine. Here the kusi is shechting animal, he's holding the knife and he's shechting. He can easily make an avela if the Jew is just Yotze v'nichnas. So that was machlekes, Abaye v'Rava, whether Yotze v'nichnas By Stam Yenam, they all agree Yotze Minichnes is Mutter Lachatchila. What about by Shchita? He Noga, so Abai thought that it's Mochomer. Rav Ashi Lama Kitra Avayhu. Rav Ashi doesn't agree with either Abai or Rava, because Abai and Rava said they were interpreting the Mishnah. Hakol Shochtem, the whole story goes on a Kusi. A Kusi, they're Jewish, and if they Shecht is good, if someone's watching, but can you trust them? Because all the Hilcha Shchita are Torah Shabal Peh. And the Kusim usually didn't believe in Torah Shabal Peh. So that was the question, can we trust the Kusi or not? So Rav Ashi holds they're both wrong. Kusim Ageri Arayis, the Kusim Agoyim, they never converted. Originally, that's what we said over this Tosfos Kosovar. Tosfos says, in Melochim Beis, chapter Yud Zayin, Tosfos quotes, in the second Sefer Melochim, chapter Yud Zayin, it says, as Alehem Hayu Ovdim, they still worshipped Avodah Zarah after they converted. So the whole conversion was a Gir Shaloi Kalacha. The Geris was not valid at all. It was a joke. The whole Geris was not a valid Geris. So Rav Ashi holds that it was never straightened out. There never was a second Geris. Rav Ashi holds the whole Pshat Abai V'Rava, the whole thing is wrong. Where is it again? Rav Ashi Le'amakit Rabbi doesn't agree with either Abai or Rav Kasova. His opinion is, Kusim Geri Arai saying they were Goyim Gemurim. And they hold, no, that was the original Geris in the days of Tanakh. That was Shaloi Kaloch, there never was Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. But must be, many Tanoim would argue about it, must be that they must have been Megair a second time, because otherwise why are they observing any mitzvahs? Abai Barabba working on the premise that the Kusim, the original Geris, was taken not valid. There was no Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, but there must have been a later Geris where there was a Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. Abai Lamakir Rav Ashi, Abai doesn't agree with Rav Ashi. What did Rav Ashi say? The Mishnah goes that Hakol Shochtim, we even allow a mumer lechon avelus l'tayovan. A guy buys non-kosher meat because the kosher meat is more expensive, but he remembers how to shecht. He used to be kosher, and now it's too difficult, too expensive. So you can trust such a. You can't trust him on bedikas hasakin because that's a davar sheyesh patircha. But if you give him a knife and you know that he knows Hilcha Shechita, you can trust him for doing the Shechita. So that's what Rav Ashi interprets in the Mishnah. Hakol shochtim lechatchila, we even permit a mumer l'tayovan, the shechta behema, if we did the bedikas hasakin. So the Gemara says, Abai does not agree with Rav Ashi. Abai lo amakir Rav Ashi, l'svira lihod the Rabbi. He doesn't agree with Rabbi's din that Rav Ashi quoted, that a mumer echon nevelis l'tayovan, but it's sakin v'nosin lo. You can rely on him for the Shechita. He can't rely. He doesn't keep kosher, so he can't rely. He can't rely on him. Ela frek the Gemara question. Rove, my time aloma kishmaite. Rove anamen aleph says the same pshat as Abaye in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah, the first line and the second line in the Mishnah. Hakol shecht melchatchila b'diavad. It's good. So Rove interprets also everything goes on a kusi. And whereas Abai said we require the soul should be watching from the beginning to the end, Rav said it goes, Yotze V'Nichnas is enough. So why did Rav interpret the Mishnah? It goes on a Kusin, it goes on Yotze V'Nichnas. Rav Ashi interpreted the Mishnah that it goes on a Mumma L'Tayoven is a Ladashech. All based on what Rav said, the Omar Rav lived generations before Rav Ashi. Because Rav said, a Mumma L'Tayoven, Baitik Sakvin Asinlo. So why didn't Rav learn Kishmaite? Rava should have interpreted the Mishnah like his din. Rav Ashi interpreted the Mishnah based on Rava's din. That the Mumarech on the Velis of Theoven, but exactly in Eisenlai. So why didn't Rava interpret like that? That's the Gemara's question, four lines from the bottom. Rava, my Tamalama Kish, my Tay. Why didn't Rava interpret the Mishnah like his own memory that he said, a Mumarech Theoven can be trusted for Shechting? And for the Gemara, you're right. Rava just disagreed with Abaye. Abaye interpreted the Mishnah goes on a kusi, and Abaye held that Yotze V'Nichnas is not good enough. Yotze V'Nichnas is good by the barrels of wine because he's loy noga, but here where the kusi is touching the animal is noga, so you can't rely on Yotze V'Nichnas. Rava disagreed. Yotze V'Nichnas is good lechatchila by shchitin, is good lechatchila by the stamyen. So Rav is just disagreeing with Abaye, but Rav himself would interpret the Mishnah like Rav Ashi said. That's how the Gemara says. The Rav might time long kishmaite, and Gemara says you're right. The dvar of Abaye kamar. Rav was just responding to Abaye. You're telling me that Yotze V'Nichnas is not sufficient. You should know that you're wrong. It's an often a Mishnah and Avodah Zarah. Yotze V'Nichnas is good, and it doesn't make a difference. Noga loy noga, it's all the same thing. The leila svirale. Rav himself doesn't hold like Abaye's pshat. He's just touching up Abaye's pshat. He himself would agree with Rav Ashi's pshat that the whole Mishnah goes on the Mumarech and the Velus Leteyovin. Yeah. So much of this is halacha lemaisa. Much of it. There were difficulties. Each pshat has its problems, how it fits into a word here, word there. But the dinim, we didn't reject the dinim. So on Hilchas Kusim, we assumed the Kusim originally were Geri Arayis. The original conversion was not valid. We assume historically there must have been a second conversion, the Geri Emes. But then the Gemara is going to quote later on the next daf. Rav Meir's Talmidim went to investigate what's going on. They found some of the Kusim, there were different groups of Kusim in Eretz Yisrael, some of them, a Miut group, worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hagrizim. So Rav Meir was Geiza that they all have a din like Akam. So he mentioned that's a major machlekes of Rishonim. When Rav Meir made the Gzera that all the Kusim should be treated like Gaim, is that Bein Lahakal, Bein Lahachmer? Or is it only Lahachmer? Let's say, can I use a Kusi as a Shabbos guy? Can I sell a Chomis to the Kusi? Or he say, no, if he shechts a behemoth, shechitos in a vela, like a mummer. But not that a kutsi is mamish nina kakm. So that was a machlekes harishayim. And the Rambam had the strange opinion, let the kutsi is mekadosh an isha. A kutsi is mekadosh. Would you say dina kakm? So the kedusha na natcha, like the aseres hashvatim is manazeh. The gozra aleim, they have a dina vakum, and mekadosh an isha, the kedusha is natcha. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Achreinim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quote, in Hilchas Ribbis, are you permitted to lend the Kusi beribbis? Is the Kusi mamish like a goy? I feel a lahokala. No, Kusi is like a mummer. So you're not allowed to lend them beribbis. So the Achreinim on the side of Yeriday, Hilchas Ribbis, they quote the Pirush HaMishnayis Laha Rambam in the end of Nida, says the strange way. The Rambam says the Kusim, once Rameh was goy, Zalias Ka'akum, so there's no longer been Tami Ba'oihel. Mesei Akum are not metami ba'oil, only metami b'magav and masa. Mesei, so Jewish mace is metami even ba'oil, even if you don't touch him. And a kusi after the gzeira is only metami b'magav and masa. Bein lahakol, bein lahachmir. Machudish dikashita. And the Rambam holds like that. Yeah. I think Gemara is going to repeat some of it. Tan Rabban, we have a bris. Shchitas kusi muteris. In other words, kusin geri emesei. The shechita is good. Vamed vamamurim kshesu alayim al gabov. If someone is watching, avu bo mitzol sheshochat. I come and I see a kusi shech to the beim. So I can't trust the kusi. Maybe he didn't do a good job. So chotach, but he's a frum a kusi. So chotach kazayis v'naisin loy. I should cut off a piece of flesh and give it to him. If he eats the flesh, he's a frum a yid. So then it's a simon that it's kosher. Acholai, if he eats it, mutter. Lechel mishchitos. You have to give him a kazayis. We pass on halacha that a chotzi shir is osa, either min atarim or the rabbanon. But the kusim probably don't believe in that. Chotzi shir is osa. They didn't accept much of the Torah of Baal Peh. So that's why it says chetar kazayis. When you have to give him a full kazayis. If he eats the whole kazayis, it's a simon that it's kosher. Acholai, mutter lechel mishchitos. If the kusi eats it, then it's a simon that it's a good shchita. In love, he doesn't want to eat it. Osa lechel mishchitos. He would be machshel me in eating nevela. So Rashi explains, yeah, the kusim don't believe in. Rashi explained it on Gimel Amanal. The kusim don't believe in lifting, but they say temichsho. The whole that just means you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a person, but to give the person treif of food that the one who's eating it doesn't even realize that it's treif. That's misasek. So what's wrong? So misasek is nishkei ma'isa aver. So the kusim, you couldn't trust them. If they're going to give you food, they're going to say it's kosher. You can't trust them unless they themselves are eating from the same food. Okay. So believe that next week we'll have to continue. This week we sing the Shira, Parshas Bishalach. So the Haftorah Shira is Dvaira. When Bnei Yisrael were victorious in battle in the days of the Shoftim, so Dvaira recited the. Or Shira. So in the middle of the Shira, there's a pasuk. We speak about it on different occasions. The pasuk says, "Yivchar lehim chadashim, oz lach mshorim, mognim yira v'raymach barboy melech b'Yisrael." When the Jewish people chose to worship a new religion, "Yivchar lehim chadashim, alehim loshen chol." The Jews worshiping Avodah Zarah, so then they were punished. Oz lach mshorim. The Muhammad came into the cities. Was the Muhammad some other far away place? The Muhammad was in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews were not prepared for war. They didn't have any weapons to fight back. Jews couldn't defend themselves. So the Medrash Yalkut Shemayni has an additional level of interpretation on that pasuk in Shiras Dvaira, understanding the word Elokim Loshen Kodesh. Yifchar Elokim Chadashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidush HaTorah. He loves Chidush HaTorah. So because we know, in the yeshivas, everybody knows that Ribbono Shel Olam loves Chidush HaTorah, that's why we, Oz Lachem Sharm, that's why we make Melchamta Shel Torah. We pilpul in learning Sha'arim, Sharm HaMetzion Ba'alocha in the yeshivas, and we want to make HaKavah Yoch, we want to make the Ribbono Shel Olam happy because we know that he enjoys Chidush HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik points out in some of his published essays that we have an Iker and Emunah. The Rama has 13 principles of faith, and one of the principles is that Zos HaTorah Lasi Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah don't change. Why do we assume the laws in the Torah don't change? Because we assume that the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah are a description of Elokus, also doesn't change. So what do you mean? The laws of the Torah don't change, but the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates Chidushim. So apparently the Chidush is one thing, in Shina is another thing, and sometimes it's a very thin line to know what's the difference. When is it a Chidush, which the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates, Yivchar Elokim Chadashim, and when is it a Shina? So sometimes you have to be a big Talmud Chacham to know. Some people like to come up with very big Chidushim, to change the whole religion, turn the whole religion upside down, and it's Chidushim. The Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates Chidush HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha many years ago that was printed b'shaito in Hapardes, that when the witnesses see the new moon and they see something new is happening, we have to rejoice over the new chiddush, so they have to come to the Sanhedrin Gedoyla. The Rambam says, the Rambam quotes from Mechilta, the Kiddush HaChodesh, the one in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh, are the biggest rabbanim in Kol Yisrael. This is said. You only need a bezna of three, but the Rambam says the bezna of three to declare Kiddush HaChodesh has to be authorized by the 71 members of the Sanhedrin Gedoyla. So he says, in recent years, he was writing about the reform movement and all the conservative movement and everything going on in Europe, all the mishigas going on, and the movements going on now in America and Eretz Yisrael. All the movements, so they all see, oh, it's a new world, everything is different. So he says, when you're facing something new, and you have the challenges of modernity, and you get all excited about something new, you have to go consult the biggest rabbonim to ask, is it a chiddush or is it a shinui? If it's a shina, then it's apikurs. If it's a chiddush, it's acceptable. That's what, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know, that chiddush and shinui are two different things. Chiddush is wonderful and the shinui is puzzle. Yeah. And he holds a chadish is mutter. He would make a chadish. Yeah, they all ate chadish.
Yeah.
He uses that malik, a chadish also. Can you just
give Torah? No, you're only a boy.